Hey everyone, Ronan here. I know it's been a really long time since I released any content, and I'm sorry for that, but I think it's going to have been worth the wait. Because over the last 6 months, not only have I gotten involved in a bunch of exciting new projects that are going to expand the reach of who we talk to on this podcast, I've also had a chance to reflect on what I'm hoping to achieve with this podcast. Here's what I've realized. For better or for worse, to more or less degree, all of us are after the same thing, to live a good and long life. But absent the Bible or other religious texts, there aren't many manuals on how to do that. So that's what I want to be talking about here. I've also come to realize that, as Tom Robbins says, the greatest answers can't be given, they can only be received, which to me means you're not going to find the real lessons and insights about how to live a good and long life in a book. But rather, if we have any hope of receiving some of these lessons, it's going to be through good old-fashioned conversation about the things that people have learned along the way in their lives, shared in their own voices, unfiltered and mostly unedited. Because not only do the words matter, but the energy and intensity by which they share those words matters too. Certainly, I believe some of those lessons involve being non-ordinary and thinking about how we evolve, a nod to the previous names of this podcast. But some of those lessons will explore much more complex topics like how we define success, mobility, status, growth, parenting, and inevitably the topic that probably scares us more than anything, or at least me, death. These are topics where there are many unknowns, no right answers, and the only way to truly understand them is to dive headlong into the dance of it all. So I'd like to welcome you to a good long podcast, Lessons for a Good Long Life. And I'd like to kick things off by reading you a story. It's called Kishka for Couple, a book I read to my kids. I'd like to read it to you for the same reasons I like reading it to my kids. One, I get to put on a thick Yiddish accent, which makes my kids laugh and my wife cringe. And second, I like the moral of the story, even though it's not the most elegantly of written children's stories. And certainly my reading of it isn't the most exquisite or theatrical performance. Maybe that's a lesson in and of itself. The truth doesn't always reveal itself in one clean, magical moment. And third, and maybe most importantly, I've never done anything like read a children's story before on this podcast. And in the words of Dr. Seuss, if you've never done these things, you should, because these things are fun, and fun is good. Two final thoughts just before I hop into the story. First, in addition to the podcast, I'm going to be launching a newsletter called A Good Long Newsletter to share some of the insights I glean from these conversations. Head over to agoodlongnewsletter.substack.com to sign up. Second, I'm going to promise to try to not change the name of this podcast ever again. But one of the things I've learned along the way is that you should never be afraid to change your mind. So my promise is to try, but no guarantees. Enjoy the story. The junk jiggled in Copple's cart as he pushed it down the dusty lane. His shoulders hurt and his back ached. His legs felt heavy like Mama's noodle pudding. Copple stopped beside a big trash can and looked in. He pulled out a moldy sock, a cracked cup, and a torn rubber boot. Then he spotted an old iron meat grinder with a wooden handle.
"Just another piece of rusty junk," he said. "Why am I so unlucky?"
Copple tossed the meat grinder into his cart.
"Unlucky?" said a voice. "If you sell umbrellas and it never rains, that's unlucky."
Copple turned around. No one was there.
"Who's talking?" he said. "Where are you?" "Sure, your father was a great rabbi and you're a junkman," said the voice. "But unlucky, you're not."
The peddler eyeballed the meat grinder. He picked it up, turned it over, and gave it a shake.
"Take it easy, Copple. I may be a meat grinder, but I've got feelings."
Copple's mouth dropped open.
"A talking meat grinder?" he said. "How do you know my name? How do you know my father was a rabbi?" "My lips are sealed," said the meat grinder.
"You don't have any lips," said Copple.
"Never mind, I'm here to help you."
Copple scratched his head. "Are you the prophet Elijah? He helps people too."
"Do I look like Elijah?" said the meat grinder. "Be quiet already and listen."
The grinder twirled his crank.
"I'll give you 3 wishes. You can have anything you want. Just make a wish and turn my crank."
"I don't believe in magic wishes," Copple sniffed.
"And I suppose you don't believe in talking meat grinders either," said the meat grinder.
Copple laughed.
"You're a sharp cookie for a meat grinder."
He chucked it back in the cart and raced home to his wife.
"Yetta, Yetta, good news," shouted Copple.
Yetta put her hands on her hips.
"Finally, business is good. You can take me to the movies, maybe," she said.
"No, this is better than money," Copple grinned. "We have 3 wishes. We can wish for anything."
"What are you talking about?" Yetta said.
Copple plunked the meat grinder down on the table.
"Tell her what you told me," he said.
Yetta rolled her eyes.
"Oy vey, he's talking to a meat grinder." "Tell her," shouted Copple.
The meat grinder was silent. Does it know any chicken jokes? Yetta giggled. It sings my Yiddish a mama, maybe? Yetta laughed so hard she popped three buttons, but Koppel didn't notice. He had a faraway look in his eyes. Imagine, Yetta, if you really had three wishes, for what would you wish?
I would wish you would fix the leaky tap, said Yetta, and the walls could use some paint, too.
Koppel frowned. Yetta, please try.
All right, already, she said.
Yetta's eyes grew soft and dreamy.
I'd wish for a pearl necklace and earrings to match.
Koppel laughed.
I'd wish for the whole jewelry store, he said.
I'd wish to be young and beautiful, Yetta sighed.
I'd wish I was a prince, then I'd take you to the royal ball, said Koppel.
I'd wish I was a queen in a golden palace on a mountain of cheesecake with cherries.
With each wish, their eyes gleamed brighter. Koppel chuckled. This wishing is making me hungry like a horse. My bubby made a kishka the king of China would eat, he said. I wish I had a piece this big. Koppel flung his arms wide and bumped the meat grinder's crank. It spun around with a terrible screech. A huge hunk of steaming kishka flopped onto a plate.
Oops, said Koppel.
Yetta's face turned red like beets.
You had any wish in the world and you wished for stuffed sheep guts?
Koppel winced.
I made a little mistake.
Yetta's eyes bulged like turnips.
A little mistake? I'll show you a mistake. I wish this kishka would stick to your nose.
Yetta grabbed the crank and spun it with all her might. The kishka leapt in the air and glued itself to Koppel's nose. It dangled down to his belly button.
Yetta, what have you done? He said.
Yetta clapped her hands to her face.
I want a little cuckoo. I'm sorry.
Koppel grabbed the kishka and pulled it. It wouldn't budge.
Help, he said.
Yetta yanked as hard as she could. She tugged and tugged.
Stop, you're pulling my nose off, he said.
She let go and Koppel tumbled to the floor.
It's stuck, she panted. It won't come off. Now we only have one wish left, Koppel groaned.
We should wish for the Golden Palace, said Yetta.
What about this kishka on my nose, said Koppel.
I think you look very distinguished, Koppel,
she said.
I look like an elephant.
You can join the circus, maybe. At least you can make some big money, said Yetta.
Tears and kishka juice dribbled onto Koppel's pants. Yetta suddenly felt very sorry for her husband.
Koppel, I wish the kishka would drop from your nose.
She gave the crank a good spin. The kishka plopped back onto the plate. With joyful tears, Koppel waltzed his wife around the room.
Thank you, Yetta. Thank you so much.
But Yetta looked glum. Koppel stopped dancing.
I guess we're still as poor as ever, he sighed.
Suddenly, the grinder cranked its crank.
Oi, he's still complaining. Koppel, stop and think. Look a little closer.
Koppel peered out the window and all around the house. He stared at the kishka and looked at his wife. Then he burst out laughing.
He has no head, Yetala, but the grinder talks sense.
What do you mean? She asked.
Koppel's eyes sparkled as he took Yetta's hands.
A loving life, a little kishka, who could wish for more?
Yetta kissed her Koppel on the nose.
Some tea with your kishka, Koppela?
The end. There you go. There you have Kishka for Koppel, written by Aubrey Davis and illustrated by Sheldon Cohen. I always like reading this book to my kids, in part because I get to put on my Yiddish accent, but it's a good reminder that life is all about perspective. And as long as you keep a good perspective on life, have some gratitude and a little bit of awe, it's always worth living. Anyway, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed, and looking forward to speaking with you in more episodes.